This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan and together with me is Lim Soo Ann. So today we are going to be talking about the fifth edition of the annual Refugee Festival, which is starting this weekend from July 4th to 10th. But the festival is happening this year with two big differences. One, it's happening virtually, and two, it's being held with the marked absence of many refugees. So we find out more from the organizers of the festival.
And so if you have any thoughts you'd like to share with us, you can, as always, tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can also WhatsApp us. The number is 018-789-8899.
Yes, so the annual Refugee Festival has become a staple here over the last few years. It was started 5 years ago to create a platform where refugees living in Malaysia could both highlight their skills, highlight their issues, their challenges, but also display their skills, their talents, and really as a way to foster better ties between Malaysians and them. And also to understand, allow us to understand and appreciate them as members of our society. But like most other events, the Refugee Festival has also had to adapt due to the COVID-19 pandemic as well as the Recovery Movement Control Order.
Yes, so this year, the Refugee Festival will be held entirely online starting this weekend. So you'll have panel discussions, performances and workshops all being streamed over Facebook from July 4th to 10th.
Yes, but the festival is facing a more specific challenge as well. The recent pandemic and the closing of borders seems to have increase the prejudice that's being faced by refugees, not just here in Malaysia, but globally. So over the last few months, many local activists have been posting and talking about an increase in resentment and hate speech that specifically targets refugees. And reports in recent weeks of several sea vessels carrying Rohingya refugees being turned away by the government officials has added to the tension of the situation. And last week, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin said at the 36th ASEAN summit that Malaysia can no longer take in any more refugees due to its stretched resources.
And public sentiment towards refugees also seems to have taken a turn towards the negative. A recent study by market research firm Ipsos shows that since the start of the pandemic, 82% of Malaysians want the borders to be closed entirely to refugees, compared to just 43% a year ago. And almost two-thirds of Malaysians, or about 64%, want the country to be less open to refugees after COVID-19. And this is actually the second highest number in the world, with only Russia coming in higher at 66%. And for some context, as of April this year, there were some 177,800 refugees and asylum seekers registered with UNHCR in Malaysia, and the majority of them are from Myanmar. And Malaysia is not a signatory to the 1951 Refugee Convention, nor the 1967 Protocol to the Convention, so there is a lack of a legal or administrative framework to regulate the status and rights of refugees in the country.
Yes, so due to this, very complicated situation, this year's Refugee Festival has also taken the decision to minimize the number of refugees who are based in Malaysia that will participate in the festival, particularly in the panel discussions. This is to minimize their exposure to being targeted by the kind of negativity that they're saying they're facing. And instead, their absence will be represented by an empty chair. Nevertheless, the festival will still foreground refugee issues and feature Malaysian and regional activists who will highlight these issues. So to learn more about this year's Refugee Festival, we do have on Skype the festival's co-directors, Mahi Ramakrishnan and Saleh Sipas. Thank you for joining us, Mahi and Saleh. Maybe we can start off by you telling us, what can we expect from the Refugee Festival this year?
Actually, this year is the Refugee Festival is different because this year is not physical. We don't have any physical festival. So this year is online, and another issue is this year we want to focus about the relationship between refugee community and local communities. And also another thing, this year we published a poster to different communities and refugee community. Some refugees, they have a skill, they have knowledge, they have poetry, they have can photograph everything, but we don't know. So we publish the posters and information about the Refugee Festival. They know about the Refugee Festival and can join. So it's open for all refugee community, and Yeah.
This year, the festival is going to be a little different, not just because it's online, but because of the rising hostilities against the refugees over the last few weeks. So whenever we approached a refugee artist, they were kind of reluctant to actually be seen because of their death threats and also because of the backlash that they were getting. I mean, you say something and then immediately there's a huge backlash. So what's going to happen this year is we're going to have minimal performances by refugees. There will be no refugee speakers at any panel, but there will be a empty chair that will denote the absence of the refugee voice. But this time around, what's happening is that we have got artists from outside the country who are refugees, who are more than willing to come and stand in solidarity with the refugees in Malaysia. And we also have Malaysian artists who are actually raising their voices and standing in solidarity with the refugees. So this festival, in short, will actually mark the fact that there's rising hostility and that we have got to stand together to fight against this. Everything will be pre-recorded so that, you know, it's easier for us to kind of like manage the festival online. This is the first time both Saleh and I are doing something like this. So you know, it's we need to kind of like work around it and get the hang of it ourselves. So when we had a conversation, we decided that it is going to be easier if we can have pre-recorded segments. But the panels will all be live.
So what kinds of panel discussions will you be having?
One panel is about what is the role of art about the relationship, how we can work together. And
The panel on the art is actually looking at art as a form of resistance and also as a unifying factor and to figure out where Malaysia really is at this point in time. And then we also have panels that touch on regionalism and ASEAN and how well ASEAN is equipped to actually handle refugees. And the other one looks at Malaysia's current political situation, the rising hate speech, xenophobia, racism, and, you know, and hostilities against the refugees, the government policy, the Rohingya boat pushback, and what's actually happening and how we are going to mitigate this. So it's a combination between, the panels will be a combination between art-related subjects as well as something which is heavier and more political. Some of the panelists are YB Charles Santiago, the Klang MP, as well as the chair for ASEAN Parliamentarians for Human Rights. We have got Debbie Stortard, who is a Malaysian who lives in Bangkok and is the founder of ASEAN Burma. We have got Jules Rahman Ong, who himself is a filmmaker and an activist. And we also have a Rohingya refugee called Hafsa Tamisuddin, who has lived in Malaysia for a number of years and who is now settled in New Zealand. So we thought it would be interesting for her to talk to us about how easy it was how easier it was when she was a refugee in Malaysia and whether she's actually shocked with the kind of rising xenophobia. So we have quite a bit of good speakers, very versatile speakers, and also speakers, you know, who have been on panels and who are quite, who are very knowledgeable, I must say, on issues of ASEAN, refugees, migration, forced deportation, those kinds of things.
And you're balancing this out with performances as well. So what can we expect from there?
Yeah, we have the theater of the Optus workshop also. Actually, the performances is like image theater. We want to share some story about refugee with image theater. Then we have opportunity for discussion. What is the meaning of this image theater? This we will record before, then we publish. After that, the answer on the question part, the people can ask some question. They in from Malaysia and another country in different area.
Some of the other performances will also be spoken word poetry performances, music performances, and we also have some photography sessions as well.
And as you mentioned, you've made a deliberate decision this year to not feature refugee speakers in the panels, as well as to only have a few performances by refugees based in Malaysia. Could you explain why?
I believe it's because, you know, of the backlash, the very quick backlash and death threats And it's become so difficult for them to actually maneuver that, that they believe that maybe this is the time for them to actually take a step back. So this is incredibly difficult for them. And we also feel that, you know, as opposed to putting them on a stage or as opposed to getting them to perform or sit on panels, we also have a bigger responsibility of protecting the refugees at this point in time. Because, you know, I will be, and I can safely say that, I mean, I'm going to say this, that it is because Malaysia has become that much more unsafe for them at this point in time, given whatever we have seen over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks.
So what were some of the challenges of putting this festival together under this current situation of not just the pandemic and the recovery movement control order, but also, as you mentioned, rising prejudice?
I must say that whatever that we saw over the last few weeks, you know, during the time of the MCO was shocking. I did not expect that kind of xenophobia. But I must also say that, you know, it was really sad to see Malaysians really, you know, attack refugees and migrants and even community leaders who are themselves Malaysians. But having said that, you know, I also think that, you know, because there are many Malaysians who feel that they have lost out on opportunities because of religion or race and skin color, who feel that they are third-class citizens, who feel that their opportunities are not coming their way because of who they are. You know, when this has been going on for decades and has not really been addressed, you bring in the refugee equation into it, and these people may actually be really scared that they are going to lose that very little that they get or that they have been receiving. Now, I'm not justifying this, but I'm saying that if we do not really look at Malaysians and the fact that we do not have equitable opportunities, then it's really going to be difficult for us to actually deal with refugee issues on a larger scale.
Yeah, actually, it's the first time we have an online festival in Malaysia, the refugee festival. So it's very, some part is very hard. For example, the technical part is very not easy. We need a special technical. So some of them, actually, that I talk directly with some refugee. They know internet, high speed. They cannot participate. And also, they cannot record. They don't have any computer for editing. Some of them, for example, poetry. They have poetry in their own language, but need to translation. So it's actually hard for us, but we're trying to do best. And also another thing, this year, some refugees, for example, they are not in Malaysia, but they are in another country, for example, in USA, European country, another country. So they also can attend, they also can join. So it's a good point.
So why is having this festival particularly important at this point in time?
You know, the thing is, Saleh and I, we were talking about this. And of course, the initial thing was, okay, let's not have this festival because of, you know, what's happening on the ground and the fact that the refugees themselves are scared. And we also have the responsibility to protect. And we ask ourselves, is it really necessary? But then the more we spoke about it, we realized that the festival has also changed over the last 5 years, as, you know, it was a place where the refugees showcased their talents. And then it was used as a bridge to connect them with the Malaysian society. And then we also took the festival out into, for example, a plantation so that Malaysians and refugees can actually meet, sit down, talk, and listen to what each other have got to say. So we realized that it has become a political tool of activism as well. And we thought, why not? Why not use this platform to actually send a strong message to the people about who the refugees are and the fact that we need to come together and embrace our friends who have turned up in our country. And it's also to remind the government that, you know, conversations around refugee narratives have to change. We cannot say that we have not ratified the convention, so we have got no responsibility. Instead, we need to say that we need to remind the government that, you know, it has ratified the CRC, the CEDAW. It is a party to the UN Sustainable Development Goals 2030, and therefore has a global responsibility to protect. This is important, and both Saleh and I believe that the festival can play an important role in instilling this both to the government and the public.
Yeah, actually, the refugee festival is a very amazing and very powerful opportunity. We talk with each other with refugee festival, and we want to show the refugee ability, the refugee skills and knowledge And we want to make sure refugees are not challenged in Malaysia. Refugee opportunity. So if we, for example, we don't do the refugee festival, maybe the government, the UNHCR, and another NGO, the PayPal, they forget the refugee challenges. So I think it's very important. We must continue the refugee festival.
Thank you, Mahi and Saleh. That was Mahi Ramakrishnan and Saleh Sipas, co-directors of the Refugee Festival, speaking to us via Skype.
Mm. So the Refugee Festival will be happening virtually this year from July 4th to 10th. And for more information, and if you want to catch the panels and performances, you can head over to facebook.com/TheRefugeeFestMY.
So that's it for today. That's all the time we have. But if you have thoughts that you'd like to share with us, you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Let us know if you do manage to check out some of the events that are happening during the Refugee Fest, which starts this weekend. Of course, you can also drop us a message on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Dashran Johan will be speaking to Mohan Ambikaipakkar, who is an associate professor in critical race theory and post-colonial studies. And they will be talking about police brutality and drawing parallels between the current situation that's happening in the US with the murder of George Floyd, and perhaps what we can learn in terms of what our systems are doing or what might exist within our country. So that's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. But first, here's Diplo with Long Way Home, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.